Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Chof Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the new perek, the second perek of Chulin, the Mishnah. Hashochet echod ba'oif ushnayim bebehemo shchitas ekshera. If one shechts, one slaughters or cuts one of the two neck organs, trachea, esophagus, one of the two in a bird, or the two neck organs in an animal, shchita sukshera, his shchita is considered appropriate. Verubo shel echod kamohu, the majority of a neck organ is considered as if the whole neck organ was cut. Rabbi Yehuda omer ad shishchot es havridin. Rabbi Yehuda says that the shchita is not sufficient when, and the Gemara will explain that Rabbi Yehuda is going on the case of a bird slaughtering, until you slaughter the neck arteries as well. It's pointed out in the Gemara that this is for the purpose of getting out maximum amount of blood. Blood being, of course, something forbidden for the Jewish people to consume. Chatzi echod ba'oif, ve'echod v'chetzi bevehemo, shchita subsulif. One in slaughtering a bird cuts chatzi echod, one half of a neck organ. And in the case of an animal, he may have cut one complete neck organ and the half of the other. The shchita is unacceptable. He hasn't cut, in either one of those examples, a majority of that which is necessary to be cut. Roiv echod ba'oif v'roiv shnayim b'vehemo, shchita sokshera. The majority of one neck organ in the case of a bird, and the majority of the two neck organs in the case of an animal, if the majority is cut, the shchita is acceptable. The Mishnah opens up with the word hashochet, one who shechted, one who slaughtered. That implies something that's not of a first choice nature. In other words, something that was done and we evaluate it post facto, and we say it was good, but not that it's the best way to do it. That's what's conveyed by the word hashochet. So the Gemara asks, in looking at the beginning of the Mishnah, hashochet di'evet in l'chatchila lo. The word hashochet implies something that's not of first choice nature. But in the same breath, the Mishnah speaks about cutting the two neck organs of a behema. You can't cut more than two. That's the maximum that is available. So the Gemara asks, shnayim bebehema l'chatchila lo? The two complete neck organs in an animal, is that considered not of first choice nature? Ad kama lishchot v'lezel, how much more should he shecht? There isn't any more to shecht. Shechita involves the cutting of the neck organs. And in the Mishnah we say he cut both neck organs. It sounds like he cut both neck organs completely. Why then do you present it as hashochet, meaning something that's not of first choice nature? So the Gemara answers, Ibois Emo, A'echod Ba'of. One possibility in understanding the role of the word Hashochet, that's going specifically on the case of one who shechted one of the two neck organs of a bird. There is more to shecht in the case of a bird. You could shecht both of its neck organs. So the Mishnah is telling us that even if you shecht only one, it is sufficient. Though there is room, so to speak, there is a possibility, an option of having done even more, and that would have been better. V'iboyesema, another possible explanation of why the Mishnah uses the word hashochet, arubo shel echod kamohu. The Mishnah made reference to that point, that one, on the second line of the Mishnah, that the majority of one is considered as if you did the whole thing. We would say, lechatchila, as first choice, you should do the entire neck organ. And if you did the majority of it, that's also okay, but we don't look at that as lechatchila, rather as if that's what you did, b'dieved, post facto, if you did only the majority, that too is alright. As you can see, as far as the markings are concerned, a new geometric form appears, a diamond appears, and we have explained the role of this in our introductory note and structural note that we've combined in the outside margin. You can see there appears Nosei Mivne, and the Nosei meaning the topic heading, Mivne structural note. The diamonds represent five Mekoros, five sources, L'shchita Min Hatzavor, that when we use the expression Shchita, we're referring to cutting the neck, as opposed to stabbing its heart or puncturing its head. Shchita means specifically cutting at the neck. The opinions, as we said, there are five sources for this point, and you can see four of them appear on this Omid, and the fifth is on Omid Beis. Omar Rav Kehana, minayin l'shchita shi min hatzafa, from where do we know that shchita takes place from the neck? Answer, shenemar v'shochat es ben habokar. And the word v'shochat is understood as a contraction, mimokoim sheshoch chatehu, from the point that's bent on the animal, bent over. So at the neck, an animal bends. Chateu means, as the Gemara will prove shortly, means cleanse it. Cleanse it from its blood. We have a brief bracketed section. And you can see that it lasts three lines. After the bracketed section, the Gemara will ask, V'eimo miznavo. That is a presentation, the triangles that you can see, there will be presentations of alternatives to what we just said. We said the neck is the point of Mokom Sheshoch. Shoch is a reference to the neck. Bent over, well, if you follow these triangles, you'll see you have miznavo, its tail, and Ozno, its ear, and then another V'eimah, a third V'eimah in a triangle indicating some other alternative. Turning to the bracketed section, inside the brackets, the Gemara wants to know from where do you know that the word Chatehu, which helps to comprise the word V'shochat, we noted that it was a contraction, so from where do you know that the Chatehu part of that indicates cleansing. So now, that having been said, let's do the brackets. Mimai dahai chateu lishno didichuyehu. Dichuye means purification. From where do you know that chateu indicates purification? And we explained moments before, purification from blood. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, v'chite es habayis. That has to do with the cleansing of the house. So you see, v'chite is the word we're looking for. V'boi se'ema mehocha t'chateini be'ezoiv v'taher v'ataher. So you have in this pasuk as well t'chateini, that the root of that is chita, and ataher, purification. Well, so far we've established that v'shochat, from the point that the animal bends, namely its neck, that's where shchita takes place. The Gemara asks, the emo miznavo, maybe shchita involves cutting its tail. The tail is something bent over as well. So the Gemara answers, shoch, the word shoch, bent over, implies mechlal shezokuf bo'inon. It is a part of the animal that if it wants, it could be straight. Veha, the tail, shoch the oimehu, is always bent. The emo mi'ozno, maybe the bent part of the animal that could be straightened out is a reference to its ear, and that shechita involves cutting the ear. The Gemara says, no, bo'inon dam hanefesh feleka. We require, in the realm of sacrificial slaughtering, we require achieving or acquiring the lifeblood of the animal. And if one were to cut off the ear of an animal, true, there would be some bleeding, but the animal would continue to live. It would represent an injury to the animal, but you wouldn't have any lifeblood that you would have received from such a cutting. The Gemara asks, let's stay with the ear, and we'll suggest v'eimo dekora v'ozil ad demoti l'dam hanefesh. As gruesome as this may sound, it means that you would cut away at the ear and sort of, let's say, burrow into the animal's body from the ear till you get to a point that you are reaching, or that so much blood is coming out that the animal dies as a result, at which point you will be receiving the dam hanefesh, which is necessary for sacrificial offerings, the slaughtering of sacrifices. We should just review that point again, that when blood is offered in the Beis HaMikdash sacrificial procedure, we sprinkle on the Mizbeach dam hanefesh. So, according to this suggestion, you could cut, let us say, shechita may involve cutting away at the ear, and simply cutting away is such a deep gash or digging into the animal till it dies, at which point we can say that the blood you have assembled or gathered at this point includes the dam hanefesh. That's one question. In other words, how do I see neck? So far we can stick with ear, vesu. Further questions. Shehiya drosa haloda hagroma v'ikor minolon. These are five shechita related problems. Shia is a slaughtering but with a pause, a delay. Drosa is a downward pressure as opposed to a slicing action. Haloda is a situation where the knife becomes covered. Hagroma is shechting out of the shechita boundaries. And ikor is a reference to the ripping out of neck organs. From where do we learn those things? Elo, Gemara. You'll have to say that the five shechita problems that we just enumerated are part of an oral tradition. Well, by the same token, shechita minatzavor nami Gemara. We could tell you that shechita, cutting from the neck, is part of an oral tradition. Ukra lemayosa. So the posuk that says v'shochat es ben habokar, if it's not the source for shechita minatzavor, so what is its role? What is it telling me? Answer, delo v'shavya gistera. That when you're shechting, you shouldn't cut apart the entire neck bone as well. Rashi explains that this approach would say v'shochat, emphasizing the chateu part, meaning get the blood from the animal, but no more. You don't have to cut, and you shouldn't cut more. And as we said, don't cut it completely asunder, apart. Rabbi Yemar, a second approach. How do we know shechita min hatzavor? Omar Kro, the pasuk says vizovachta. The word vizovachta is associated with slaughtering, and we learn from here mimokom shezov chateu, from where the blood flows, there you shall cut it. So if you cut it at its neck, its blood will flow out. The Gemara asks, language-wise, like we saw before, my mashma dahai chateu lishna de misbar hu. From where do you know that the word chateu, namely ches tes hevov, is a lashon, an expression, a misbar, is has to do with something that's literally broken or cut apart? Answer, dechtiv al tira v'al techos, don't fear and don't crumble, don't fall apart. Once again, we have alternative suggestions that are raised. The emo mechotmo, if you're emphasizing flow, we said vazavachto is made of two words, zov chateu, cut it. Well, from its nostrils also there are liquids that flow forth from the animal. So maybe it means cutting it at its nose. And that's shechita. The Gemara answers, Zov al yedei chitui bo'inon v'hai zov me'elavhu. Shechita must be causing the flow of whatever as a result of a cutting, and not the nose, which is constantly flowing with liquids. That's very much true in the case of a cow. There are always liquids coming forth from that, from the nose, or liquids will flow forth from its nose, me'ol elav, without any other action, just naturally, as we say, its nose runs. The emol milibo, maybe the flow that was referred to as a result of cutting is stab it in its heart. Maybe that's what shechita is. Vesu, and furthermore, shehiya drosa chaloda hagroma v'ikor minolon, from where do we know those 5 points of shechita law? Ela, those points you would know Gemara through an oral tradition. So shechita minat savor, namely to the exclusion, as we just saw, of, let's say, stabbing it in its heart, shechita minat savor, nami Gemara. That shechita takes place at its neck is an oral tradition. Ukra lamai also, so then what's the role of the posuk? Answer, delo l'shavya gistera, that one should not cut it any more than just the slaughtering action. One should not cut apart its neck as well. Cut apart the mafrekes, the neck bone, into two. Number three, we have a third approach. Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tona, v'shochat. Al tikri v'shochat elo v'sochat. The shin at the beginning of the word v'shochat can at times be pronounced like a samach. As you may be familiar, there's a dot that appears above the shin. If it's above the right head of the shin, then it's read as an sh sound. If the dot is to the left of the shin, it is then read with an S sound as v'sochat. So read it as v'sochat, and that's what the Gemara is telling us. Al tikri v'sochat ela v'sochat. Mimokom shesoch chateu, from where it literally converses, that has to do with emits sounds, there cut it. And that's a function of sounds are emitted from its throat. The Gemara asks, the emol milishono, maybe it involves cutting the tongue. Maybe that's what shechita is. No. Bo'inon dam hanefesh v'leka. You require the lifeblood when shechting. You require getting its lifeblood, and that you won't accomplish if you simply cut out its tongue. The Gemara says, well, the emol, maybe I'll stick with the tongue, and the korav ozil ad dam hanefesh, that you use your knife and rip away the tongue until you get deep enough in so that the animal will die as a result of the of this cutting, and you will get the dam hanefesh, the lifeblood. The su, shia drosa chaloda hagroma v'ikor minolon, and where do you know these shechita laws from? Ela Gemara. You'll have to acknowledge that you know these other shechita laws through an oral tradition. Shechita minat savar, cutting it at its neck, as opposed to cutting away its tongue. Nami Gemara, cutting at its neck is also an oral tradition. Ukra lamai also, what's the role of the v'shochat then? Answer, delo l'shavya gistera. It's telling us that when you cut it at its neck, don't cut its neck bone as well, to cut its head to decapitate it completely. The Tana Maisi Law Mehocha. The Tana sees an allusion to Shechita Menat Savor from the following. Rabbi Chiya, we should point out in the marking system, when you see sections in a frame, they represent alternatives. Let's say that more accurately, they represent Tanaic sources. In this particular case, it will be an alternative source for Shechita Menatzavar, but the main aspect of the frame marking is to highlight a Tanaic source. Rabbi Chiya Omar, Minayin L'Shechita Menatzavar. From where do we know shechting is at the neck? Shneamar. The pasuk says in Vayikra Perek Aleph pasuk Ches, V'orchu b'nei Aaron ha-koyanim es ha-nesachim. This is part of the offering of an ola sacrifice. The nesachim, these are the sections, the limbs that were dismembered from the animal, are set up in anticipation of being brought to the altar. She'ein Talmud Lomar es haroish ves hapoder. In that pasuk, there's a reference to the head and the poder. The poder being a certain flap of skin that's separated from the animal. There's no need to enumerate the rosh and poder when, after all, they are one of the limbs anyway. They're one of the nesachim. So matam lomar es haroish ves hapoder v'alo roshu poder b'chlal kol hanesachim hoyu lomo yotsu. Yotsu means isolated or identified separately. Once you tell me that you're to set up all of the limbs, I know that the head and poder are amongst them. Why do I have to enumerate them separately? Answer: Lefi shenemar, since the pasuk in pasuk vav said v'hifshit es ha'olav v'nitach, you are to skin. Hifshit is removal of skin, and then nitach, dismember. Ein li elo nesachim sheyeshnon bechlal hafshata. I would have thought that what is called a nesach, a netach, only that which is skinned. Minayin larabois esharois shekvar hutaz. From where do I know to include the head that has already been separated? And since it has already been separated, it's not part of the skinning. Talmud lomar es rosho ves pidroi v'orach. So here at the end of the Brisa, a different pasuk is quoted, pasuk Yud Beis, that makes a reference to the head and poder again, and they are set up in anticipation of being burnt on the Mizbeach. So the Gemara points out, Midika Omar es haroish shekvar hutaz, from the fact that this expression appears in the Brisa, that I need to include the head that has already been separated. Hutaz indicates separated from the rest of the animal. So michlal de shechita minat sabor, it must be that it got separated through the shechita, which is at the neck, thereby separating the head from the body. The Rashi points out that we're not referring to actual decapitation, which was mentioned before as delola shavya gistera, but once you cut the neck organs, that's considered as if the head is separated. So we see from this brisa, the brisa sees it from the fact that rosh and poder were enumerated separately, that's where shechita took place, at the neck. The Gemara has a technical question regarding this source. Generally speaking, when the source opens up with a question concerning the pasuk, like it did here, it asked, "Ma tamud lomar es haroish v'sapoder," you would expect it to then offer some type of explanation as to what I would have thought without that pasuk, and then in the final analysis, quote that pasuk, and therefore you see why I need that pasuk. And the pasuk that was originally brought to question was pasuk Ches. When the Brisa finally said, and therefore you see why you need the pasuk, it ended up quoting a different pasuk. It quoted pasuk Yud Beis. So the Gemara asks, "V'tana pasach baroishu poder u'mesayim baroishu pidro." Why is it that the Tana opens up asking about what do I need pasuk ches for roshu poder, and then says, and therefore you see why I need roshu pidro, which is pasuk Yud Beis? So the original pasuk was never explained. Therefore, the Gemara answers, "Hochi ka'omar." Thusly, we are really to understand the source. So we have in a frame what in effect is a rereading of the source with more complete information. Minayin l'rabois es haroish shekvar hutas. From where do I know to include as one of the nesachim, one of the limbs that are placed on the altar for burning, the include the head as well that has already been separated? Talmud lomar es haroish ves hapoder. The Rosho v'Pidro Lomali. What do I need a reference to Rosho and Pidro later on in Posecute Bays? Miboyale v'chedesanya. I need it for the following teaching. Minayin the Rosho Poder shekoidmin l'chol hanesachim. From where do I know that they are offered first in the chain of animal limbs that are burnt as part of the Ola sacrifice offering? Talmud Lomar es Rosho ve'es Pidro ve'orach. From Posekut Beis I learn that the Rosh and Poder are offered first. At this point then, we have accounted for the appearance of Posekut Beis, Rosho ve'es Pidro, that they are offered first. And we've accounted for in Posuk Ches es harosh. We didn't explain what does poder do in Posuk Ches. Posuk Ches es harosh was an allusion for the fact that the rosh, which was already dismembered, is part of the limbs that are offered, even though it's not one of those that's part of the skinning. When the head is offered, it's offered with its hair on it as well. So I understand the role of Es HaRosh in Pasuk Ches. Upeder Kamo, the Kosav Rachmon Olamali. What is the role of the word Poder in Pasuk Ches? Answer, Miboya Le Lechedesanya. I need it for the following law, the following teaching. Keitzahu Ose, when bringing the limbs to the Mizbeach, how does he bring them? And in this case specifically, how is the head brought from the slaughtering site to the altar? Answer, Choyfe es ha-poder al beis ha-shchita. The poder was a flap of meat taken from the animal, and it was placed over as a sheet covering the sliced open neck. It's Chofe es ha-poder al beis ha-shchita. Beis ha-shchita is the sliced open neck of the head of the animal. Umaleu, and brings it up to the altar. Vizeu derech kavod shel mala. And this is considered an honorable way of offering a sacrifice. Otherwise, to have the gashed open neck that's full of blood being exposed, that would not be a proper and honorable way of offering the head to the Almighty. The high Tano, you can see we have a number 5 here, Maisi Lo Mehocha. From the following source will derive that Shchita is from the neck. Desanya, the following Tanaic source. We're going to be focusing at the latter part of the source where you see a dashed underlining. That's where the information that we're seeking is quoted. The source begins, Zois Turas HaBehema V'Oif. The pasuk indicates that this is the law of the animal and bird. With regard to what area of law do we find a similarity, shofsa, similarity between behemo and oaf? The Brisa points out that there are two major differences between them. Behemo mitame b'magavamasa, oifeno mitame b'magavamasa. Behemo communicates ritual impurity in the event that a four-legged animal died, keeled over and died. It communicates tumah through maga, contact, masa, and through carrying. An oaf, a bird, a dead kosher variety bird, does not communicate tumah through touch or carrying, through maga or masa. A second point of difference, oif mitame begonim abesablia. A dead kosher variety bird will communicate ritual impurity when you are swallowing it. Behema ena matama begonim abesablia. Begonim is a reference to the clothing that one is wearing. If one is while one is clothed, he eats nevela bird, a dead kosher variety bird. He not only does he become tummy, but the clothing that he is wearing at that time also become tummy. And that tumah is communicated only at the point that you're swallowing the bird flesh. Behemoth, if let us say you didn't touch the behemoth nor carry them, simply someone inserted through, let's say, some type of long poker, a piece of dead, unslaughtered behemoth meat into the back of your throat, you would not become tomei. That's not considered contact in the tumas mago sense of the word, because here it's taking place internally. The point of contact is internal. That does not communicate tuma other than in the case of the oif, as we describe. So let's read that again. The second point of difference: oif metam begodem abeis abliyah, behema eno metam begodem abeis abliyah. Therefore, we don't see any similarity. With regard to what area of halacha is a behema comparable to a bird, and a bird comparable to an animal? Lo marloch. So this tells us, ma behema b'shchita af oif b'shchita. Just like a behema needs to have ritual slaughtering in order for it to be kosher, edible, that is, so too an oaf, before one can eat from a bird, it must be slaughtered. This, of course, is in distinction to, let us say, something like a fish or a tomato. A fish does not need any slaughtering, even though it's a living creature. A tomato is a plant. It doesn't need anything other than your simple eating of it. Even if you were to eat it attached to the plant, there would be no problem. So where do I, from this I see, though, that an oif is comparable to a behema in that it too needs shchita. I ma lahalon barov shnayim afkan barov shnayim. If just like by a behema you need to have the majority of the two neck organs, are you going to say by a bird you also need the majority of the two neck organs? Talmud lomar zois. Therefore you have a limitation expression that appears in the pasuk, and we saw above the beginning of this source, it is zois teras abema. Namely, zos is a word indicating isolation or reduction. Namely, only by a behema do you have to have rov shnayim. Rabbi Lezer Omer, be'ezet teras shos abema lo'ofof le behema. With regard to what area of halacha are behema and oaf similar, lo marloch ma oif hechshero min hatzavar, af behema hechshero min hatzavar. Just like a bird becomes acceptable through the neck, and that's a reference to malika. When offering a bird sacrifice, the neck is punctured with the kohen's thumbnail, which is an action of slaughtering. It's a unique action, but it's something takes place at the neck. So too, by a behema, the slaughtering required for the behema is at the neck. And that's what we meant before when we said that the Tana brings a proof for the neck from here. Namely, from oaf, we learn to behema. Well, how far? Maybe I should go further with this comparison. Ima lahalon mimul oref, afkan mimul oref. If just like the bird, it's from the back of the neck, so too by a behema is shchita to take place from the back of the neck. Talmud lomar umolak es roishoy mimu or poi velo yavdil. That's a pasuk by malika, by the bird offering, and we learn from here roishoy shelzeh mimu oref, the head of this thing, roisho being an exclusionary expression meaning its head, it and not something else. The bird's neck is cut mimul orof from the back of the neck. The ain rosh shel acher mimul orof, but the back of the neck of another, namely a behema, an animal, is not from mul orof, not from the back. Rebbe Lezer, hi zois my oved lei. What does Rebbe Lezer do with the zos limitation word that the Tanakama used? We can see an arrow to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text where you can see where the word Zos was cited just before. The Tanakama had used that expression to tell me that by a bird you do not need to cut the majority of the two neck organs. One is sufficient. So Rabbi Lezer, what does he learn from that Zos limitation? Answer: Ilav zois. If not for the presence of that word, have amino, I would have thought ma oif besimen echad af behema besimen echad. Just like a bird, it's sufficient to cut one neck organ. So to a behema, one would have been enough. Therefore, kosav rachmona zois. Therefore, the word zos appears to tell me that there is a difference, that only by the bird one is enough, not two, not so by the bema, where you need to have the two neck organs. And as Rashi says, the word vizos is coming to tell me that not with regard to all things are behema and oaf similar. Toni bar kapora. Vizos toras habehema v'oif v'chol nefesh chaya horomeses b'mayim. Hitil hakosuv v'oif bein behema l'dogim. In this pasuk where it says v'chol teras v'zois teras habehema v'oif, you see the word oif, and the pasuk continues as we read v'chol nefesh chaya horoi meses b'mayim, a reference to things in mayim as water, things that exist in the water, namely fish. So in the pasuk, the word oif is positioned between behema and fish. L'chayvoi. So what is the purpose of this? Of this positioning of the oif between the two. So, first the Braisa goes on to tell us what it is not telling me. L'chaivo b'shnei simonim yefshe shikvahu kishladogim. To suggest that a bird needs to have two neck organs cut, that you cannot say, because we see that the bird is compared to fish, and fish have no neck organs that are necessary to be cut. L'fodro below klum, efshar, to exempt the bird from any form of slaughtering, that's also impossible. Shikvar hukash l'behema, because we find that the oaf is compared to behema, which appeared just before it. Ha ketzad, so how am I to deal with the bird? Hechshero b'simen echad. It's making the making of the bird, hechshero, making it available for eating, is through the cutting of one neck organ, a type of compromise, if you will, between two and zero. We mentioned in passing that fish do not require slaughtering. Dogim delav b'nei shchita ninu min olon. From where do you know that fish do not need to be shechted? And we've use this to title our new sugya in the outside margin. You can see the nosei, the topic heading, Dogim Enom B'shchita. So from where do we know this? Ilemo Mishum Dichtiv. If you are going to say it's because of the following pasuk, wherein it says, Hatzon Ubokor Yishchot Lehem, Im Eskol Dogei Hayom Ye'asef Lehem, Be'asifo Be'alma Sagi Lahu. In this pasuk, it does make a reference to the gehayom, the fish. Ye'osef means gathered in. So, maybe you're going to say that because it says ye'osef, gathered in, it means all you have to do is gather the fish, take it out of the water, and that's enough. No further means of killing is necessary. Well, if you're going to focus on ye'osef, elomayato gabi slav dichtiv, the slav was a bird that appeared to the Jews in their travel in the desert. It says, vayasfu es haslav, they gathered the slav. Achinami delav b'shchita, are you going to tell me that there's no need for shechting the slav bird? For amrs, but we just got finished saying a little bit above, l'fotro v'blo klum ef sheshifahu kish l'beima. We said that above, that to say that the bird is exempt from any form of slaughtering, that you cannot say because it's compared to behema, which we know needs slaughtering. This, by the way, you can see was referred to above where the star appears, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You just align the two stars that we have here, and you see where that was quoted above. So, what is the source that fish in fact do not need shchita? Once again, if you're going to focus on the ye'osef word that we had above with regard to fish, but we also have ye'osef with the slav, and the slav does need shchita. The Gemara responds, Hosam, the posuk by the slav, lo ksivo asifa b'mokom shchita d'achrini. The word asifa doesn't appear in the slav posuk in the same context of the slaughtering of something else. Hocha, in the case of the fish pasuk, where we had the, it's called Gehayom Ye'asef Lehem, Ksiva asifa v'makom shchita achrini. The word asifa is written together with the word shchita, so it stands in contrast to the word shchita. Therefore, shchita is appropriate for what it said in the pasuk tzonu boker. And as far as fish are concerned, they do not need shchita. Asifa is enough. Dorash ubor glila. Ubor glila is a reference to a name of a person. Ubor from Goliel, possibly. He, ubor glila darshan, he taught the following. Behemo shenivres min hayabosha hechshero b'shnei simonim. Animals, four-legged animals that were created from the ground, from the dirt, their shchita involves the cutting of two neck organs. The way Rashi explains this is that since it comes from the ground, it has a lot of life to it. And in order to remove the life breath from something created from Yabosha, it needs the cutting of the two neck organs. Dogim shenivru min ha-mayim, hechsheron bevolo klum. Fish, which were created from the water, don't need any neck organs to be cut. Simply removing them from the water is enough. Oif shenivra min harakak, the bird which was created from the mud, which is a combination of dirt and water, hechshero besimen echad, a type of compromise like we saw before. One neck organ is enough, mud being made of dirt and water. That which was created from dirt, straight dirt, we saw it needs two. That which was created from the water needs nothing. So that which is created from mud needs one. Omar Rav Shmuel Kaputko Teda, you should know that they were created from the mud. Sharei oifus yesh lehen kaskeses baragleyen kedogim. Birds have a type of scaly skin on their legs. Many of you have seen chicken legs. You'll notice they appear to be scaly. That's a type of, hint that the birds have some association with fish in terms of their origin, so that birds were created from the mud. V'oid sho'alo. This expression involves a pronoun. And furthermore, he asked. Rashi gives the background to who the questioner is here, and he mentions it was a type of Roman official that was posing challenges to Rabban Gamliel, and those challenges are featured in Maseches Bechoros. So the following is one of the questions that he raised. Kosov Echad Omer, one pasuk says, V'emer Elokim Yishutzu HaMayim Sheretz Nefesh Chaya V'oif Ye'oifeif. The pasuk is from the time of creation. It says that the water should issue forth the creatures and the birds. Almo Mimayo Ivru. From this pasuk would seem that birds were created from the water. Kosov Uksiv, on the other hand, the pasuk says, Vayitzer Hashem Elokim min ha'adama kol chayas hasada ve'eskol oif hashamayim. And the pasuk continues, we have a star where you could see in the margin the continuation. It says, Vayove el ha'adam lirois ma'ikoloi v'chasher yikoloi adam nefesh chaya hu shmoi. And the creatures were brought to Adam, who then named them. But in this pasuk it seems that Almo me'aro ivru, that birds were created from the dirt. So that appears to be a contradiction. How do you explain that? Before going on in the Gemara, a word of structure is necessary. We have Roman numerals that appear to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. That represents two versions of how this story continues to unfold. There is also little numbers that are circled, 1 and 2, that will be of use when we learn the Gemara. So Omar Lo, Rabbi Gamliel answers the Hegemon, the Roman official, Min Harakak Nivru. The resolution of the contradiction is by combining the two psukim, the water pasuk and the dirt pasuk for bird creation, and you come out with mud. So he told the official, Rabbi Gamliel told the official that the birds were created from a combination.
Rabbi Gamliel noticed that when he answered this official, that the students that were present were giving each other strange looks. Amar lahem, so Rabbi Gamliel says, "Kasha beinechem shedachisi es oivi bekash." Does it bother you that I rebuffed my enemy, the Roman official, with this type of light answer, like straw, that I pushed them off with straw? The real answer is, that's why we have a little number two over here, min hamayim nivru'u. The pasuk that mentioned the oifi oifeif, preceding that, had been mentioned, the mention of made of water, that's really where they came from. They were created from the water. As far as the second pasuk is concerned, the reference to the oif there is not attached to the word Adoma, but rather it's present there in order to teach me that Adam named them. V'loma hevion el ha'Adam, why were they brought to Adam? Likrois lohen shem, to name them. So as far as this approach is concerned, the pasuk that was quoted above, that began Vayitzer Hashem Elokim es ha'Adama, min ha'Adama kol chayas nefesh. At that point, there's a pause, and then when it says Ve'es kol oif hashamayim, that's not associated with the beginning of the pasuk, but that's there for the continuation, which spoke about the naming. Ve'yesh oimrim, another version of the story reads as follows: B'loshon acher omar lo'oisei hegmon. The answer that he gave to the Hegmon involved saying that the pasuk, that the second pasuk needs to be brought into the picture, and that is that the birds were created specifically from the water. Ubaloshon harishon omar lohem letamidav, and using the loshon rishon, which was the answer that in the first lashon he gave to the Egmon, is really what he, in this version, gave to the Talmidim, meaning that the birds were really created from the mud. Mishum dichtiv al vayitzer. The posuk referring to, in other words, we have to include the second pasuk as being part of the material that birds were created from, namely dirt, also because the word vayitzer, which means formation, appears in that pasuk, and you have oaf that's in the same pasuk using the word vayitzer, so we can't totally deny the dirt. Therefore, this yesh omrim tells us that when he told the Talmidim what the birds were created from, you have to take into consideration, in addition to the water, the dirt as well. We have a slash mark in the Gemara indicating that that which follows is a new idea. We've offered a title to this discussion under the Nosei heading in the outside margin, Ein Shechita Le'oif Min HaTorah, that from the Torah there is no requirement to slaughter birds. That would leave us thinking, or with according to this approach, shechita is necessary for birds, but it's a rabbinic requirement. Omar Rav Yehuda Mishum Rav Yitzchok ben Pinchas, Ein shechita le'oif min ha'Torah, Shneemar v'shofach. The posuk is quoted on the side of our Gemara. We've written Asher posuk, in Perik Yud Zayin Pasuk Yud Gimel in Sefer Vayikra, it says Asher Yotzud Seid Chayo Oif Asher Yeocheo V'Shofach Esdomo V'Chiso Be'Ofar. The topic of that pasuk is the covering of the blood with dirt after shechitat, after, let's say, killing takes place. The pasuk uses the word V'Shofach Esdomo. It doesn't say V'Shochat, but rather it says, and it's when you spill its blood, b'shvicha be'almo sagi, with mere spilling of the blood, that it can involve just killing it, puncturing it, getting the blood out that way would be sufficient. Well, Ihochi Chayonami, are you going to say the same thing with regard to undomesticated animals that appear in the same pasuk? So the Gemara answers, well, Iskish Lefsule Hamukdashim. Chaya is compared to animals that were once dedicated as sacrifices and became unfit. So chayos, undomesticated animals, are compared to psule hamikdashim. And we know that psule hamikdashim, those being domesticated animals, they do require shechita. Hence, chaya is compared to them requiring shechita. Well, but oifnami iskish lebehema, if you're going to focus on comparisons, we find oif compared to behema, dechtiv zois teras behema ve'oif. So just like behema requires shechita, then oif would require shechita. Well, but on the other hand, hoksi v'shafach es damo. The bird, it describes in Perek Yud Gimel, Perek Yud Zayin Posuk Yud Gimel, spilling the blood is enough. Namely, no shechita is necessary. Well, umay chozes deshad yolei al oif shad yo achaya. In the posuk of v'shafach es damo, why do you say that v'shafach is limited to the bird and not including the chaya? Answer, mistabra mishum de solik mine, because the term most closely associated, proximity-wise, to v'shafach is the word oaf that appeared just before it. And you can see, with the way we've written the posikin and underlined the respective words, you can see that the word closest to v'shafach is oif. So that what comes out of this discussion is that oaf is sufficient to have v'shafach, the spilling, and not shechita. And chaya requires shechita by virtue of the fact that it's hukash to psulei hamukdashim. Meisvei, we see a triangle that appears, and this represents a series of triangles, or as we've noted on the in the margin, kushyos al hanal, questions on that which we have said till now. Primarily, that shechita is not required for birds min haTorah. Meisvei, we raise an objection. Hashochet v'nisnavlo biyodo, one who was slaughtering and the slaughtering went wrong. Hanocher v'hama'akir, one who punctures or rips out neck organs. Poter milachasos, there is no requirement of kisui hadam. Kisui hadam is the procedure of covering the blood of chayas and ofos after they have been shechted. V'i'amris ein shechita le'oif min haTorah, if you'll say that the Torah has no shechita expectations with regard to birds, then any form of killing it would come under a, we'll call it a general heading of shechita. Nechiroso zuhi shechitoso, its puncturing would be its shechting. Since you're saying that there's no dictated form of shechita, so any form of killing could be called shechita. Therefore, liboy kisui, it should require kisui adam being a procedure done after a proper shechita is done to a chaya or oif. So if you're saying that there's no Torah required shechita, that any form of killing is the equivalent of shechita, so it should require kisui hadam. So the Gemara says, Mi sabris pa'of, who says that this source is talking at all about birds? Lo, b'chaya, this source is talking about a chaya slaughtering. And a chaya, an undomesticated animal, does require shechita. And therefore, if you don't do a proper ordained shechita, there is no kisui requirement. Toshma, as you can see, we have another triangle. Hashochet v'tzorch ledam, chayav l'chasos. If one is slaughtering and his primary interest is getting the blood for some reason, nevertheless, there is a kisui hadam requirement. Ketzad u'ose, what should one do if he, let us say, needs the blood, but doesn't want to or cannot do for whatever reason the kisui hadam? What should he do? Oy noichroy oy oikro. Either he can puncture it or rip it out, rip out its organs. That way he'll kill the animal, get the blood, and not require kisui. My lav be'of. Is it not so that this source, which speaks about needing the blood, is talking about a bird killing, the kobaya lei ledome liyanika, where you need the bird blood for yanika. Yanika is some type of worm that develops in clothing, and apparently bird blood serves as a type of pesticide with regard to this creature. And if you tell me that there is no shechita requirement for birds, so its nechira, its killing, would be equivalent to its shechita, so why does the source say that nechira nochro is a suggestion in order to obviate the need for kisui hadam? So the Gemara answers, in fact, this source is not talking about birds. Lo, b'chaya, it's talking about the blood of chaya blood. You'll ask, what is that needed for? The kaboyale, the dome, you need its blood, lelaka. You need it for some type of dye, where in processing leather, this chaya blood was used. But as far as birds are concerned, birds could very well, they don't need shechita. And if you were to have killed the bird, you would have, in fact, needed to do kisui hadam. You can see that we have another triangle, and that the series of questions continues, but that Mirtz Hashem will take care of next time. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.